I tell you, I'm glad I'm beyond all that. Or am I? I'm not sure. Well, there are just so many voices out there, and they're not all good. There's a wisdom that prevails out there that falls woefully short of God's wisdom. And let's pray that our young people will exercise a godly wisdom as opposed to a man-made wisdom, that they might be a shining light in their classrooms, whether it's in a Christian school, and if they're homeschooling, or if they're in public schools, for sure. Our key verse from the text, Misplaced Ideology, is verse 24. And the scripture there says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." The word ideology comes from the phrase science of ideas, as proposed by the French writer A.L.C. de Stutt de Tracy. I'm glad I don't have that last name. But while we often think of laboratories, experiments, when we hear the word science, in a general sense, it means knowledge of any kind. The various synonyms for science is, or ideology, I should say, is a creed, a doctrine, a gospel, and so on. Now, the word science, whether you know it or not, appears only twice in the scriptures. Once in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 4, meaning mind, thought, and knowledge. And secondly, the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:20, the word is science is used there again, meaning general intelligence, general knowledge of the Christian faith, moral wisdom as seen in right living and in obedience to God. But in our source text this morning, Jesus gives us two contrasting ideologies between the wise and the foolish. This explanation which Jesus gives concerning the wise man and the foolish man fits the definition of science as a systematic enterprise that creates, builds, and organizes knowledge in the form of testable explanations and predictions. Now, when you have a question in life or you're facing a quandary in life, you can go to the Word of God and you can find a precept or a principle that you can apply to the quandary or the question at hand. You'll find an explanation and you'll find its predictions there as well. The Lord certainly is giving both of these here in the parable of the wise man and the foolish man. So in this message, we're going to be able to see as much of Scripture, especially Proverbs, as Proverbs does this, the testable explanations and the predictions of wisdom, and as well foolishness, as is the wise man and the fool, are also predictable in the outcomes of their decision making, choosing to apply godly wisdom or worldly wisdom. We will turn to Proverbs chapter 2. And that fan is blowing stuff all over the place up here. Oh, forget it. It's one of those things that happen behind a pole, but you never know. So in Proverbs chapter 2, in a bit, but its theme in chapter 2 is wisdom's protection. And perhaps you wonder, protection from what? Well, by the time we're done, I hope we see how wisdom protects us. And I'll guarantee you that if you were to take a few moments to think over your past life, the decisions that you have made, and you wish you could kind of go back and remake those decisions because you knew that you didn't apply the wisdom of God, and it didn't turn out quite like you had hoped, or quite like you thought it might have turned out, because you didn't do it, well, that was predictable. The outcome of worldly wisdom is predictable. And so is godly wisdom, also predictable. Father, we pray that you'll guide and direct as we look at the message, Misplaced Ideology. Lord, I have seen so many believers. Lord, I've walked this road myself in experiencing what happens when we take up the wrong ideology. And Lord, the problems that it creates, the emotional, the physical, Lord, the mental, Lord, it takes a toll on the individual, and not just only on the individual, but all those around. Lord, we have young people in our midst today that Lord, they have, according to you, their thought processes, they've got a whole life ahead of them. But Lord, we don't know that for sure. But Lord, in the days that you have given and metered out to each and every one of our young people, may they grasp this concept of biblical wisdom being more precious than anything else that they could possibly work for, work towards, or develop. Lord, it can make a difference in the quality of their life. It can make a difference in the character of their life. So, Father, won't you guide and won't you direct, whether to salvation or to rededication, have your perfect will and your perfect way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the first point this morning is the beginning of wisdom. We need to understand that, where does this wisdom that we're talking about, scripturally speaking, come from? Well, in Psalm 110, if we can just turn there just very quickly, here to Psalm 110. I'm sorry, 111 in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Job states in his book, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." The psalmist states again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Solomon writes, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 5 through 6 tells us that wisdom, real wisdom, genuine wisdom comes from God. It says, if we can turn there in Proverbs chapter 2. Yeah, I'm not sure why I ever looked at it. Proverbs chapter 2, looking at verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. It tells us that wisdom, real, genuine, comes from the Lord. It says, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. There are things that God knows that you don't know. Right now, even now today. Now, there's some things God's imparted. You've learned because you've studied. Maybe going through life's experiences, you've discovered some things that, boy, I wish I'd listened to God before. But the truth of the matter is, knowledge and understanding comes from God. And the best place to be is with the Lord, in the Word of God, walking with the Holy Spirit of God, so that you can hear what it is that God has to say. So, the Apostle Paul, I believe he nailed it in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24, part B of that verse. It says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ wasn't just simply a wonderful teacher. He wasn't just simply the Son of God. He realized that he is the wisdom of God. Whatever he did, Whoever in whatever circumstances he chose to be engaged, he did so with the wisdom of God. And when he speaks, he is speaking the wisdom of God. And we need to understand that, so that when we listen to what the Lord has had to say. Now, if you happen to have one of those red letter editions, they point out the fact, these are the words that, now if you've had any spiritual maturity at all, you should be able to pick it out for yourself. But for those who don't, those are the words that Jesus spoke, amen, as recorded. But that doesn't mean that the rest is not inspired, by the way, because I had someone tell me there that he said, I don't read the whole Bible. I just read the words in red because those are the words that Jesus spoke. Well, you know, 2 Timothy 3:16, for all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Verse 17. Thirdly, for instance, unto all good works. So from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation chapter 22, the last word, amen, it's all the wisdom of God. in at least exposing it to us. Now, not everything that man did, they did as a result of exercising godly wisdom by any stretch of the imagination. But we can learn from them, can we not? When those who didn't tap into the wisdom of God, they paid a great price. They made foolish decisions and they messed up their lives. Some of it was recoverable and some of it wasn't recoverable. So at least we can learn. So Paul says, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know, people will quote Confucius. People will quote the Dalai Lama. In fact, I remember when the Dalai Lama, I can't remember how long it's been since he's been here, but when he came here, I mean, everybody was a gush. The Dalai Lama has come to the United States, and he is visiting, and they just kind of drooled all over the place, just waiting for to hear something, for this guy to say something. And yet they have the Bible in their presence all the time, and they could care less. Let me tell you something. The Dalai Lama has worldly wisdom. He doesn't have the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is the one who has the wisdom of God. And if you want the wisdom of God, you better have Christ. Amen. Well, they listen to Eastern sages. They'll express feelings of awe, a sense of spiritual awareness, a deep sense of being in a divine place. And every one of these from years past all died, and with them a dead wisdom. It went with them to the grave. Now, yeah, we can read about it. But it didn't really help them in their lives, other than the fact they lived maybe a monastic lifestyle, separated from everything, and that may not be so bad. But God says, we're not of the world, but we're in the world. So we're supposed to be busy in the world, taking the gospel to whoever will listen, whether it's in tract or whatever it might be. We're to be busy. And so God has not spoken through them at all. God has only spoken through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I know that's narrow-minded. But if someone once held up the Bible and says, this is how narrow I am. From cover to cover, everything in between, that's how narrow we are. Well, you don't have to be broad. Listen, if you're right, you're right. I mean, if you're right, you don't have to go through litanies of explanations of why you're right. I mean, God cut to the chase and He told us why this is right. And so God has not spoken through them. God has only spoken through His Son, Jesus. And it is out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding, as we looked at in Proverbs 2:6. Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, ignore it. Wouldn't that be, I think that's how some people look at the scriptures. No, the truth of the matter is, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Now, it says, and with all thy getting, get understanding. So, you know, it's wonderful to have all this head knowledge. But listen, if you don't apply wisdom to that head knowledge, then that knowledge is kind of useless. Yes? Wouldn't it be neat to go back over our lives? It would be also quite painful in some instances. But if we were to divide a paper or a ream of paper in some of our cases, maybe, and list all the decisions and all the choices that we have made, and we have good decisions and we have bad decisions, and we try to bring about the understanding of why they were different. Why was one a good decision and why was one a bad decision? So we need to ascertain how many of those decisions and how many of those choices we made, never ever giving a passing thought of seeking the wisdom of God and the knowledge of that wisdom to apply to those decisions and choices that we had to make. How many of those do you think you actually sought the wisdom of God to do that? I wish I could tell you I sought the wisdom of God in choosing the time and the woman to marry. I didn't have any wisdom about me. God graciously and wonderfully made it possible for me to marry the kind of woman that's going to be the kind of wife that a pastor would really need to be. But the truth of the matter is, I got discussing it with another guy down there. We were down here at the duty section there at Rome, New York. And he made a comment about something, and I said, And so I sneaked through the fence, went over to the civilian side over that way, and I got on the phone and asked my wife, said, hey, we said we get married. I didn't pray about it. I didn't seek the wisdom of God of doing it. You know, sometimes God knows that we're just dumb in a rock. And He just kind of steps in and intervenes and says, listen, I know what you have to need. I know what you need for the future. And so God steps in, but don't count on that all the time. Because I can go back and I know some decisions I made that were, yeah, I was dumb as a rock. Yeah, for sure. So, wisdom is that principal thing. And when we talk about the idea, the principal thing, what does it mean, principal? Now, I'm thinking of P-R-N-C-I-L-E, principal, but it's P-R-N-C-I-P-A-L, and I'm thinking of, well, there's a guy who makes your school life miserable. That's what I'm thinking. But what it really means, that which is foremost, that which is highest. So he's able to say wisdom is the highest thing that we can seek out in this lifetime is godly wisdom. You can never waste a moment of your time seeking godly wisdom. If you're married, you need wisdom. If you have children, you need wisdom. If you're breathing, you need wisdom. Amen. But you need godly wisdom. And when we are done, we can ask ourselves, after we've made that list, what in the world was I thinking? Have you ever hit those times in your life when, what in the world? Boy, I said, I can tell you what, my mind was definitely out to lunch that day. I was on recess, I can't remember. But what in the world was I thinking? Well, we can't change the past, can we? But we can change our modus operandi today. We can change how we operate today. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get. Get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Lord, I know what you've said. And Lord, as I begin to act on that wisdom, you know, it's interesting enough that the understanding will come. You say, oh, have you ever reached that point? You say, oh, now I know. Have you ever had one of those light bulb moments? Now I know. Now I understand. Well, sometimes we don't always get the understanding just because it's just simply God said it. That should settle it. I'm going to go do it. That's wisdom. Doing what God said. Doing what God wants us to do. And in the doing, many times, that's when we get the understanding. So remember Proverbs 1:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. So if we don't get the wisdom of God behind us, or is the basis for why we ask or he commands a particular way of life, then we'll live as children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see, the wisdom of God grounds us. The wisdom of God gives us a solid rock. You see, what did the wise man build on? He built on a rock. What did the foolish man build on? Well, the shifting sands of time, whatever thought was going on at the time. And so, when we are walking in obedience to God, that's wisdom. And in the doing, we get the understanding. Now I get why. Is that not what Asaph did? Asaph in Psalm 72? Yes, I'm thinking 73, but 72. It's either one of those two, but it's definitely one of those two. I think it's 72. Asaph, anyway, he said he looked around. And he, for that time that he was looking around, he really forgot about God. And then he began to entertain thoughts about God. But he simply said, well, God, you're unfair. God, this just doesn't seem right. If I were God, I wouldn't do it this way. I would make sure that the unsaved and the godless, I would make sure that they were the ones who were suffering, and those who were being obedient, they were the ones being blessed. Is that how we look at life sometimes? That's how I would have handled it. And that's how the disciples would have handled it. Because the Lord showed you, should we call down fire out of heaven and poof, wipe them all out? And God and the Lord had to correct them. He had to rebuke them. And so, wisdom stabilizes us. Understand that wisdom is meant to stabilize us so that we're not being tossed to and fro. The Baha'i faith is a compilation of several mainline ideologies that exist out there, including Christianity. But none of them but Christianity actually has any kind of wisdom that is worth searching out and seeking out. But their assumption is that Buddha and Confucius and whoever else they want to, Zoroaster and a number of others out that way, that somehow they have something to impart. None of what they have will ever attain to the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. None of it will ever do. Besides that, that wisdom, that their kind of wisdom will never lead anybody to a saving knowledge of the person of Jesus Christ. So, how do we get and how do we use wisdom? How do we get it and how do we use it? A blueprint for getting wisdom is point number two. I have found an expression that I like to use when it comes to learning something from the Bible. It wasn't mine, but it is something that we would do well to grasp and to use. And it's called the head, the heart, and the hand. I've mentioned it in other times. I use it in premarital counseling quite a bit. That the importance of godly wisdom and biblical doctrines in developing a relationship between a husband and a wife, a man and a woman. And it comes from Thessalonians, and it's about doctrine that they had learned and with the intent to make application of it. See, learning it without application shows a lack of wisdom, shows a lack of understanding. It's the head, the heart, and the hand, or another way to put it is to learn it, love it, and live it. Learn what God has to say. Embrace it because they are the words of life. And then live it so that others can see it. Show them that the wisdom of God is superior. Show them that the wisdom of God is without limit. Let the world know that anything less than the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is foolishness. As John Philip states in one of his commentaries, he said, if we want to be wise, we need to be receptive, we need to be responsive, and we need to be resolute. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 addresses our being receptive. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. He says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. But you need to note the word if. My son, if thou wilt. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the horse drink if he's not thirsty. Every once in a while, our dog, the wife has this idea that she knows when he needs to go outside and do his business. He has other ideas. If he's not ready, he's not going. You have to put a rope on him and drag him out. He's obstinate and he's stubborn. With him, there is no if. It's when he's ready. But the Bible says here, my son, if thou wilt, if. It's a choice. Do I want to live a life that God can bless? Or do I want to live a life that is like a roller coaster, up and down, all the time? You see, God lays it out there. It's for the asking. It's for the accruing. But you and I have to make a conscious choice to be anchored in the wisdom of God, which becomes a solid rock upon which we build our lives. We build whatever it is that we feel God's called us to do, whether it's a marriage or a family or a business. We build it on the principles of God's Word. We use godly wisdom in that particular process. So, it's there for the asking. It's there in all of its abundance. We have to make a conscious choice to be anchored in the wisdom of God in a beguiled, misled, duped by your flesh, sin, and Satan world in which we live. You have one of two choices. Either you think you can wing it, and I'm going to tell you right now, no, you can't. Winging it only gets you so far. My son will say something about his oldest daughter, Lauren. And I said, boy, she's doing really well with that clarinet. Well, she's really doing well. He says, yeah, but she won't practice. She's cruising on, I guess, natural ability. And he said, it's going to catch up with her. And I'm going to tell you, he's right. It will catch up. There comes a particular point in time that you have to put some energy, you have to put some effort in it. So if you want wisdom, you have to put yourself in that place, in that position, to glean the wisdom that God makes available. So God does not force himself on man. Man has a free will with the ability to think, the ability to taste, smell, hear, to respond emotionally and to make decisions. We have a free will to do that. So we can either choose to get godly wisdom and build our lives that way, or just ignore it altogether and wing it, as I just said. But we have to choose whether we will do those things independently of God, or discover God's will and God's way and submit to his will and his way. Now I'll guarantee everything that didn't work out too well for us in the past, in past situations, was due to the excluding of God, or minimally including God. Amen? You go back and you revisit some of those ones. Now, like I say, it may be painful, but you go back and you revisit, and you will find that there was a time when God offered his wisdom, but you chose to ignore it. It's kind of like when we were teenagers. You remember that, men? We were teenagers, and we had mom and dad's advice. Huh? What do you know? What do you know? And now we have young people like looking at us like, what do you know? Well, it's comforting to know that someday they're going to have kids going to look at them. What do you know? You know, what goes around comes around. Amen. But I believe that there is a wisdom that we extract from the Word of God, and from a personal relationship and meditation upon God and his word, that it will help us to develop a wisdom that our young people will see it. And they'll be able to say to themselves at some particular point, boy, she said, my mom and dad, they didn't seem to have all these kind of problems. So if our young people begin to wonder something, they're going to look back and say, and they may even come back and say, hey, Dad, you got a moment? I'm going to talk to you. You know, one of those father-son chats that you'd love to have had earlier, but now that they're between a rock and a hard place, they want to have it. How come you didn't have to wrestle with these things? And then you sit them down, you say, okay, something I'm going to tell you. You get that kind of wisdom from the Word of God. It wasn't me. It was God working through me, in which I submitted. And son, you had to do the same thing. Same thing with the daughters. So the point being that we get too big for our britches. We've heard that. Little ones do that, don't they? I can do it myself. I can do it myself. I can tie my own shoes. What a mess they make out of that. Big knot all the time. Thank the Lord for Velcro. But we have to know that God's wisdom is readily available to us. If we have come to a saving faith in Christ, we can now, once again, cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God with access to a divine, limitless repository of wisdom. Imagine the repository of wisdom that God has, a reservoir that has no breath and has no depth, and it's all there for us to tap into. It's there. You won't find it in the library unless there's Bibles in the library, and the right kind of Bible at that. We certainly don't see it in Washington. We don't see it in Montpelier. And we don't see it in a lot of different places. We don't see it a lot of times in the pulpits, and we don't see a lot of it in the home either. So just open the Word of God, and there it is for us to learn without having to run over and to be ravaged by sin and by foolishness. Open the book, and there's wisdom there. You say, well, what about when Judas went out and hung himself? Well, there's wisdom there too. Listen, don't try to pretend you're something you're not. And don't walk in the presence of the Lord, whether in Scripture or in the Holy Spirit of God, and think somehow you're fooling God. Judas had a wonderful opportunity. I mean, he walked with a repository of wisdom. He walked with it. He was in the presence of it for 3 years. And it came down to 30 pieces of silver and a rope. Where was the wisdom in that? The guy said, Judas, where did that get you, by the way? I got papers walking all over the place up here. Anyway, so just open the Word of God, and there it is for us to glean without having to be run over or ravaged by sin and foolishness before we come to the realization, oh, if I had only. Next is the responsive. Proverbs 2 and verses 2 through 3. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure. You know, have you ever gone on a treasure hunt before? Back in the day, back in the early 80s, what's that place up there? Granby Park and Zoo? They used to bury treasure out in a big area, and yeah, I think you paid $5 to go in there and dig around to find out if you could find some capsules. Some had some money, some had, I don't know, a bunch of stuff in there. I mean, that place was packed. Everybody was looking for that treasure. But you know, the Word of God holds one of the greatest treasures man will ever find. It's a treasure that you can't put a price on. It's a treasure you can't buy. But it's free. And you think, well, anything free can't be. Yes, it's free. And it rivals anything that you'll ever experience. So we have to make a determined effort, an active effort, to know the Word of God, where the highest wisdom available resides. The highest wisdom available to you and me resides in the Word of God. Period. And those who start early will have years of experience. Young people, start today. Don't delay, because in latter years there'll be many troubled waters behind that need not to have been in the first place. Some of us who have lived a long time wish that we could go back and change some things so that those troubled waters would never have existed, because they don't always go away. Sometimes they linger. And that's what God didn't want. He wanted us to be able to have a clear conscience, a clean conscience, a vibrant conscience, because we exercise the wisdom of God. Have you ever wished that you were as wise as some of those older Bible preachers and teachers? I read about a guy who came up to another fellow who was a well-known Bible teacher and a well-known Bible preacher. And he came up to him and he said, "Preacher," and this was an older guy who came up to this older guy as well. And he said, "Boy, I wish I had your wisdom." And the preacher looked at him and says, "Well, you're a little late." He said, "You should have started 30, 40 years ago. And then you'd have the wisdom." He said, "But you can at least begin today and have more than you've got now." Which is true. Which is so true. The difference is that they were responsive. They sought wisdom. They sought after wisdom. Next is resolute. We need to be resolute in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 4. "If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." In other words, you'll have a respect for God. You know, the more wisdom you have, the greater your understanding of God, the greater your understanding it, the greater your love is going to be for Him. Think of all the years that we spend in pursuit of our dreams. The money, the time, the studies, the fatigue. And when we reach that goal, the satisfaction as we look back. Yes, it was hard, but it was worth it. And yet we will not apply that to the same thing as searching out wisdom from the Word of God. So it should be in our search for the greatest treasure a believer can possess. Godly wisdom. All the education in the world can't give you what this book can give you. There's a lot of people out there who are smarter than whatever, but they're as dumb as a rock when it comes to wisdom. They have none. I call it common sense. But we close. Back to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." So there's a good sense of wisdom right there, doing the will of Christ. But he goes on there and he says there, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" You see, yeah, they did it, but they didn't do it with the wisdom of God. They kind of tapped it. Listen, there's churches down in our community here, and as well as around the world. They're pushing out a social gospel, but nothing about salvation. Oh, yeah, they're doing things in what they call, quote-unquote, the name of the Lord. But there's no wisdom because they're not presenting salvation. So he goes on and says, then will I confess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, notice he said obedience, I will liken him unto a wise man. How do you want to be known in heaven? You want to be known as a foolish man who builds his house or builds his life or builds his family on the shifting sands around you? Or do you want to be known as a wise man? As a wise man. So you have verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And it says there, the loss was great. Because he said in the next verse, the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Wow. He lost so much. I wonder how many families have raised a second and third generation that's in total disarray because they did not wisely build on the solid rock of the wisdom of God. You can't build your life, you can't build your marriage, and you can't build your family and expect the blessings that God has in store unless you do it with the wisdom that He gives freely to be able to do just that. What a loss we suffer many times. We can build our lives on the wisdom of Christ, the solid rock, or build our lives on the shifting sands of instability. We have two choices and only two. Be a wise man or be a foolish man. Great is the loss or fall. Oftentimes a wasted life. Oftentimes a shameful life. The house represents more than sticks and stones. It represents family, children, testimony, all ruined, dashed by the storms of life if we don't build on the wisdom of God. The wise man's house stayed intact, weathered the storms of life. They were not overcome, but they overcame. What a difference. He overcame. You're going to have to make a decision, young people. Many of us have already raised our families. We can't go back and do it over again. But for those who would be wise, are you going to be an overcomer and overcome the weathered storms that are sure to come upon you? You need the wisdom of God to do so. Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together. Father, how precious is your word. Lord, we are faced in this life with two ideologies. Lord, we're either going to do it the world's way or we're going to do it your way. And Lord, there is no half-heartedly. We cannot sit on a fence and kind of take the best of one and take the best. Because Lord, there is no best of one and the best of another. There's the best of only one. Lord, that's your word. That's your wisdom. There is nothing better. There's nothing more sound. Lord, there is nothing more helpful, more blessed than your wisdom. Lord, may we learn to pray wisely. May we learn to make decisions and choices wisely because we prayed and because we sought your wisdom and we sought in your word for the answers, for the directions, and for the solutions. Lord, how we pray for all of our young people who have still yet so much time ahead of them, or at least it would seem so, that, Lord, they would choose now, that they would tap into this wisdom that you have made so available. So that, Lord, they don't have to find themselves in a quandary, in a mess, in disasters. But, Lord, to begin today, saying, Lord, I want your wisdom. Dedicate my life to pursuing it and to learning of it and to applying it. And that, Lord, you might give knowledge accordingly. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed this morning. I would ask you today, as a child of God, what is the character and what is the nature of the decisions that you make on a day-to-day basis? And I believe that's true of even moms and dads even today. Yes, we have raised our children to a certain place in life. But by the same token, are you still making the foolish decisions by condoning or overlooking or failing to try to help or through prayer? Or establishing the wisdom of God in your own personal life. so that it can be an example to your sons and to your daughters, to your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren yet to come. Would you say this morning, preacher, pray for me today. Preacher, we're praying for you that you'll have the wisdom to continue to be the pastor, to guide your life and to guide your home. And preacher, you pray for ours. Preacher, would you pray for me today? Yes, I see hands here and I see hands there. Preacher, pray for me today. Oh, how we need wisdom. I know that some things seem like, whoa, what do I need to take this to the Lord in prayer for? Because it just might be that there's something that God sees that you don't see. I think that's a pretty good reason. And you take it to the Lord and he may give you the thumbs up. And if you're afraid that he might give you the thumbs down, know that if he does so, he does it because he loves you. He wants you to make good decisions and good choices. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing today? Young people, how about you today? Are you making the best decisions and the best choices? Well, I'm doing the best. I'm not asking if you're doing the best you can. I'm asking if you're doing the best according to the Lord. Because you can. You can. Now, maybe this morning you're saying, preacher, I don't even know if I got a home in heaven. For our home viewers as well, you can get that same godly wisdom. You can tap into it there. You can, if you're home and you don't know Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, as well as here in the sanctuary. Listen, wisdom would tell you that you cannot get to heaven without Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you have not received Christ, heads bowed and eyes closed, preacher, would you pray for me in closing? I know that's the first step I need to take this morning. I need to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we could be together. Lord, we thank you for the patience of your folk, but Lord, we thank you for the beauty. Lord, the word that is so rife wonderfully with wisdom. Lord, every page has an element of wisdom. Almost every verse has some element of wisdom tucked in there somewhere. And Lord, we thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit of God that will help us to unlock it and to bring it out and to be able to apply it to ourselves. Lord, especially for our young people. Lord, give them a hunger. Give them a thirst for your wisdom before they realize too late in life the mistakes that they made were simply because they were foolish and turned aside from your wisdom. Well, Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your blessing. Father, we pray now that you dismiss us with thy blessings in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.